Today's daf is daf ayin aleph. Right. How do you like that?
Aleph.
Yep. And we're on the top line. So, if you recall, we had in our Mishnah a machloket between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. Tanakhama says that in a case where you have asked your wife to take a hana'ah from you, you have up to 30 days. And Rav Yehuda says, no, we have a month. That part sounds a little funny. And then he said, but if you're Kohen, then you have 2 months. Is there a machloket? I mean, isn't 30 days a month? Ask the Gemara, when you say the Yisrael Chodesh Echad, I mean, Hainu Tanakam. That's what I said. I said 30 days. Omer Abaye, no. There is no difference in the month, the 30 days. It's the second part that's important. It's that Rabbi Yehuda said that that's only a Yisrael, but Kohenet you have 2 months. And that's what he's coming out to Lashmin and the wife of a Kohen, that he's changing, and that's important for him to say. But the first part was basically repetitious. Rava says no. I mean, that doesn't make sense. So then all he needed to say was the din of Bamedvar Mur B'Yisrael, but the Kohenish Kodesh Echad. Why do you have to repeat B'Yisrael Kodesh Echad? Therefore, there is a difference between them. The difference is how long the month is. So, Rav Amar Chodesh Malei v'Chodesh Chaseri Gevinai. According to the Tanakhama, it's always 30 days. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a month, fifth of the month. If the month is a 29-day month, like the past month was, good Chodesh, everybody, so then it will only be 29 days. Omar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela B'Nifaresh. This entire discussion is only where Lechatchila, when he made the neder, he said for 30 days. That's what the Mishnah means when it says 30 days. Not that he made a neder without defining any time, but we'll give him 30 days to find the petach for zeder. That's not what it means. If he just made a neder without defining any time, he has to be motzi immediately. Well, that was Rav's pshat. But Satam, he just said a neder stam. So then yotzi li'alter, he didn't do that. At that point, he already messed things up. But Shmuel Amar, not true. A few of the Satan lo yotzi. Shami yimtza petach nidro. We're talking about over here giving him 30 days to get out of the netter. There's always ways out of the netter. So we give him 30 days to get out of the netter, even though the way that he had made the netter was by making it without any definitive time. Says the Gemara, isn't that an old machlokas? You remember this machlokas we had earlier between Rav and Shmuel before. Didn't Rav and Shmuel have this machlokas? We just had it recently, back 10 daf ago. And that was Benogea, the Mishnah Tnan, Hamadir Tishtomi Tashmish Hamita, person who now asers his wife from having a sexual pleasure from him. So Beit Shammai Omrim Shtei Shabbatot, Ubeit Hillel Omrim Shabbat Echad. Of course, the only way that he could do this is by asering the pleasure of Tashmish on himself, which would then, we can't force him to do something that's aser. But that's not our issue. The point over there is, we have a machlokas whether you have 2 weeks or whether you have 1 week, and there too, Rav says 2 weeks or 1 week means that's how long that it was for. That's the machlokas betila beit shammai, which is exactly what he says over here. Yomar Rav machlokas bim farish ava besatam. If he just said no sex, otzer ben yotzer the altar. There's no time is given to him. He has to divorce her right away. V'yitein ketuvah. And Shmuel says, just as he says over here, afil b'satam nani lo yotzi. Even when he didn't define any particular time, he would have to be given time, and he doesn't have to be motzi immediately. Shema yimtza petach l'nidro. That's exactly the same machlokas. One was talking about hana'at tashmish, and one was talking about the case over here, but with the hana'at from his nechassim. What's the difference? Move over a little tiny bit to give our presidents some room. This is, after all, an oval office. Says the Gemara, it's not quite the same. Because we had this tzricha to earlier as well. Tzricha. The E, it's marbe'ayi, ba'yikom ha'rab, mishum do'ef, shabbat par'as. Where did Rav say, suppose it only would have said the case where he asers sexual pleasure. So over there, he can't exactly appoint another guy to give her sexual pleasure, now can he? So there's nothing to do. And therefore, it's immediate, says Rav, unless he defined the time himself. Ababa, we're over here, what it's talking about, parnasah. Okay, I mean, you can always get her a parnasah by asking somebody else to take care of her. So it's efshar b'parnas. So in that case, maybe he would be invited to Shmuel, that we give him time to find a petach for his neder, even though his neder was stam and was not mefurash a particular amount of time. And on the other hand, if we were only told this case, and here we were told that Shmuel says that it doesn't matter whether he set a time, even if he didn't set a time, but we'll give him time to find a petach. Maybe that's because, meanwhile, no disaster has taken place. It's always Afshar, but Parnas, it was appoint somebody to give her money. avobiahi, in the case where you obviously can't appoint somebody to take care of her sexual needs, maybe if he deprives her and he doesn't give a specific time, so that's a disastrous feeling for her, and we have to let him tell him to give a get immediately. Therefore, tzricha, we need both cases. We had this tzricha also earlier, recall. So now, getting now onto the next piece of the Mishnah. Hamadir et ishto shelo titom echad mikol haperot, yotzi v'yitein ketuvan. It was very strange. I mean, at first we say that we give him time, we give him 30 days, now all of a sudden we can't give the guy any time. He has to, right away, because she can't have oranges. Oh, that's the end of it, I have to give her a gift. This sounds very funny. So Bishlem el Rav, according to Rav, it's very obvious what's happening over here. Because remember, according to Rav, the first part of the Mishnah was talking about that he put a time limit on himself, not that we give him time. So there's no problem. Where the first part of the Mishnah says, there is a time in the Neder. And then it continues to say, but if there was no time limit in the Neder that he put on the Neder, so then even if it's just the oranges, Yotzi V'yitein, then it makes a great deal of sense. But according to Shmuel, that the ratio is talking about where he made a Neder stop. And when it says Shloshim Yom, that's the time that we give him, not the time that he gave the Neder. So I understand. So oranges now are different. I mean, why all of a sudden, what's the big disaster over here? So Ela L'Shmuel Kasha. How do we explain it according to Shmuel? Says Shmuel, let's consider the case in the Mishnah. What do you mean he asks his wife to eat oranges? How does he ask his wife to eat oranges? Well, he owns all the oranges in the world, but he can ask his wife to eat oranges. The husband has no power to create Yisurim on his wife. But must be talking about, I'll tell you, says Shmuel. How come I ask Inan Kigon Shinadra he, V'kiyen La Il? Point over here is, she made a net. Now he went ahead and said, okay, so be it. You want off oranges? Oranges should be also for you. So now, if Rabbi Meir, now assuming the Stam Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, because of Rabbi Meir, who notain it's Ba Ben Shinea, it's he who, look, it's true that she made the netter, but it's he who went ahead and she's biting, but what is she biting? I mean, she could always take her finger out before she clamps down on it. If it wouldn't have been for him, she figures there's always an out. She's relying on him. You know, okay, I mean, I talk big, but I got a husband who's going to take care of me. He'll be made from my nadarim. But if he keeps her finger in her mouth while she's clamping down on it, so then he's basically the one who did the biting, for all intents and purposes, right? So if he did the biting because of that, let him give a ksuva, and this mission is going on to Rabbi Meir, that it's all his fault. We're going to get we're going to speak about the rest of them. There's other Yisurim also that she talks about. I'm saying even in Yisur like this, the Mishnah talks about many other cases too, remember.
All these things, if the Isha doesn't want to get it.
Just wait one second. What exactly is going on? There's a number of different things that we need to discuss over here. How do we understand the Mishnah? The truth is that one very drastically different way of understanding the Mishnah is the Rambam's way of understanding the Mishnah. The Rambam learns we're not talking about his need to give again. We're talking about his ability to give a gift. So in other words, if he wants to say, she is an Isha Nadranit, I don't like women who make Nadorim, let her have her Nadorim, the hell with her, I want out of this marriage. So you might think that that would be a taina that he could say that I don't have to give her a ksuva. I never married a woman that I thought was an Adranit. Kamash went to Mishnah, no. You want to give her a get? This is not an excuse not to give her a ksuva. But it doesn't mean he's supposed to give her a get. That's a completely different way of understanding the Mishnah, and we'll see them according to the Rambam later on in understanding the Gemara, why he learns the Mishnah like this. That is simply up to, nobody else learns like that. Okay. So everybody else is learning that somehow or other here there's a bigger problem. What the heck is the bigger problem? Just so she made it, therefore there's a bigger problem, therefore you'll see right away. So the Ran understands, actually before we even get to that, what did he do that was so terrible? That's another problem. I mean, first of all, is there value in her getting divorced now? The netter is a netter. So give a divorce. What good is it going to be to give a divorce?
Shut up.
The netter is already a netter. So he's going to give a divorce. You're not gaining anything. What exactly is the problem here? So Tosfos understands that the case is talking about where the netter was made by her saying, as long as I'm with this guy, fruit no longer tastes to me. I won't even eat fruit anymore. It's so disgusting. Nothing tastes good to me. Something like that, right? So as long as I'm with him, I'm miserable. Okay, so then fine. If the netter is dependent on that. So then, very good. He's the guy who made the netter, so to speak, by getting her to bite her own finger. So, Yotzi, we can force him, if you hold the sheet, we can force him or encourage him to give the get, and he should pay her. Well, he shouldn't have been Mekayim the Neder. That's how Tosfos learns. The Ran learns that the pshat is that since he was Mekayim the Neder, she views that as being spiteful. It's one thing if he got angry at me, let's say. He got angry at me and he answers Hana'ah me. But people always get angry. She's okay, I'll get angry. I'll feel, you know, tomorrow morning I'll wake up and realize, all right, it wasn't so terrible. I'll find the chacham, I'll be matter the neder. We give Shloshim Yom to find a heter for the neder. But where she made the neder, and here, cold-bloodedly, the no goodnik goes ahead, knowing that I rely on him, he goes ahead and he's the guy of my neder. What a no goodnik. So then if that's the case, she could say, I can't live with a guy like that. A guy who's just spiteful. I mean, if that guy who gets angry, I can live with. But a guy who in cold blood goes ahead and makes my life miserable, that I can't take. So according to the Ran, that's why it's Yotzi V'yitein Ketuva. Now, this Lemaisa leads to another question. When it says that he was Mekayim, does that mean he was actively Mekayim, or does it mean he just didn't bother being made? That's also a machlokas. And that you could see where it would be dependent, which pshat would be dependent. If he didn't actively Mekayim, are we going to call that spiteful? He says, I forgot, I meant to be made for it, but I got involved in my business, and it was a crisis, and I just forgot to do it. So they're difficult to believe it would be spiteful. The Tom of the Mishnah is really dependent. But again, this is radically different than the Rambam's pshat. The Rambam's pshat is that he has to give a ksuva if he wants to divorce her. Both Tosfos and the Ran are assuming that no. He's supposed to give her a get because he's the one that made such a mess of things. And that the question over here, therefore, is, so what was the problem? But then there's another issue. The other issue is, and what was so terrible if he's Mekayim? Does she lose anything that is Mekayim? In other words, when a man makes a neder. So there's always the option to go to a chacham to be matir. A woman makes a neder, there's also an option to go to a chacham to be matir. So you're saying, but he could have made life easier on her. No. What's the big deal? So he didn't make life easier on her, but you're saying, no, he stuck her finger in her mouth. Now she bites her finger and it's all his fault. What's the big deal? Mikayach, this problem is fantastic. The Gro brings this for the different Rishonim. Because of this Gemara, there is a shita among the Rishonim, which we don't pass in life, la'alocha, that once a Baal is Mekayim a neder, a chacham can't be matir the neder. Cannot. If that's the case, then there's a big problem. So now indeed he went ahead and he really closed the door on her. He really bit off her finger, caused her to bite off her finger, and then already we can understand what the problem is. But if you're learning the way the Ran is learning, that we're seeing it's Tom's an act of spite, it doesn't really matter. It's still an act of spite. But it's not giving him what would have been the advantage. The point is, he's a spiteful person, and she's coming along with that timing. Actually, Gemara mentions this far in a slightly different context later, that she figures he hates me. To do that, it's just pure hatred.
If they're both in a fight, and she says something, and he doesn't respond, why is that spiteful?
You're right. If the context would be that she says, your ugly puss is so intolerable that it makes me believe I'm eating lemons all the time, so I won't eat lemons anymore. He says, good, don't eat lemons, and you're 100% right. In that case, it would have been an act of anger. According to the Ran, it wouldn't have been included in this case. We're talking about the Stam. She was just saying, you know, well, my diet's no good. I'm not going to eat fruit anymore. And he says, you know, she's crazy. Every day it's some crazy diet. Let her not eat on. I don't care if she doesn't eat it. Let her not be chal. That's spiteful. Okay. So, let us now, taking this shot, so we now have our understanding of, at least according to Rav, it was very simple. First part of the mission was talking about that he gave a time limit. Second part was talking about he didn't give a time limit. Therefore, we have an immediate boom. You have to go, Yotzi V'yitein Ketuva. And according to Shmuel, the second case is talking about where she made the neder, he was Mekayim the neder, and therefore it's more radical, either because she figures he hates her and she can't live with it, or because of the Tosfos' trouble, whatever it is. I mean, there's another pshat that Rashi brings that needs to be included also, which is a little weird if it stands on its own, as Tosfos points out, that since she made the neder, and apparently made it dependent on him, so she can't stand him, so therefore what's the point of giving extra time? She's obviously not going to be Mavakesh a pepah for her neder. Which is a very strange svara. Okay, but anyway, that's how Rashi meant. So now we have a pshat in our mission. There's only one problem with the pshat that we came up with. And that is that assuming our mission is Rebbe Meir, and because Stam Mishnah is usually Rebbe Meir, and the meaning of the Mishnah is that we're telling him he has to give a get because of the fact that he stuck her finger between her teeth while she's clamping down. So now, and this, by the way, is generally the sheet of women, right? I mean, whenever they do something to mess up their life, it's always your fault for not having prevented it. So, it's a very Lemaisa thinking of Gemara. But in any event, but that works out to saying that, according to Rabbi Meir, in such cases, he's the one. Problem is that in a Braita, it says just the opposite, that according to Rabbi Meir, we view it as she is the blame. She was the one who made the netter in the first place. Asks the Gemara. We're up to now the two lines up from the big lines. The Sava Rabbi Meir, who notin etzba ben shinel? That's what you're saying? But according to Rabbi Meir, it's he's to blame? And he kept her finger in there while she bit it off? V'atanya yishashin adraga nazir. How about a case? How about here a Braita? A woman makes herself a nazir. V'shama ba'alav lo eferla. And the husband, he hears about it. It's not Mefer. Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda Omrim. He natna etzba ben shinel. Whoops. It's all her fault. L'fichach im ratza ba'ala afer yafer. So, okay, it's up to him. He wants to be made for he can. V'imomar. On the other hand, if he goes and he says, look, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it. He have shibisha not brought me. Ridiculous. The darn she comes up with every Monday and Thursday. Tetzei shalobik tuva. Now, here we see the Rambam already, right? The incipient Rambam shot. Because here the question is, does he have the right to give her a get and not pay the ksuva? So again, if you hold it's all her fault, so he could actually not even give the ksuva. So here's where the Rambam says that's the point in our Mishnah too. But in any event, doesn't matter. Nazir is the same thing as oranges. Wine, oranges, you know. So the question over here is, I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. We just got finished saying that Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, must hold that he's to blame. You know, who knows it's Bab and Gineo? And here Rabbi Meir is agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda that, no, actually she's to blame. He should be Motzi. He doesn't have to pay it to Bab. I don't understand. It's Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar who say that, no, it's all his fault. Look, he can always be made for, but if he says, no, I want a divorce or I can't take it, fine, but he still has to pay her ktuba. So you see, take ktuba. But meanwhile, it's Esther and Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir hold? Well, obviously the Braita got it wrong. They must have gotten confused. What it should say is, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, they are the ones, Omrim, who notin it's bab and shineha, and it was Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar who said, he not not. Oh, no. That's not going to help you, because then you're going to end up with a contradiction of Rabbi Yossi. You can't just play around with it. We've got too many people here. We're going to catch you if you play around now. Because now you're coming out that you're saying that Rabbi Yossi holds that he not not, but that's not true. V'sava Rabbi Yossi, he not not. I'll show you from our mission that that's not the case. That's not Rabbi Yossi omer. Ba'aniyot shalom natan kitzvah. Now, what is Rabbi Yossi saying over here? That if you're talking about a netter, about not using Chanel number 5, so then when it's talking about poor women, it's only if he didn't say an amount of time. But basically, Rabbi Yossi is on the same page. Rabbi Yossi agrees. Forget about the issues, how much time it is, rich, poor. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Yossi agrees that even though she's the one who made the netter, it's all his fault. Okay, so then that means that Rabbi Yossi holds. Who not on it's Bab and Shinan? Here, the way you're switching around the Braita, you're coming out saying that Rabbi Yossi holds he not it's Bab and Shinan. So either you're going to have a contradiction in Rabbi Meir, or you're going to have a contradiction in Rabbi Yossi. You can't have it both ways, my dear friends. That's true. Okay, let's try this again. Instead of switching around just what Rabbi Meir holds, let's switch around the people. So instead of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, let's put Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yossi, and then Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi will both hold who notain, and then Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lezer will say he not na, and now everything will be sharir v'kayam. So therefore, Ema Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi amrim who notain, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lezer say he not na. Oh no, because then we catch you again. Because now if you switch Rabbi Yehuda shita, you can have a contradiction with Rabbi Yehuda this time. It's like when you lie, you never know where something's going to go wrong. It's just not working. Because Sava Rabbi Yehuda, he not na. Now you're saying the Rabbi Yehuda holds. That's just a brilliant way of getting all of the shitas in context over here. It's a great excuse, right? So Rabbi Yehuda holds, he not na, it's Bab and Shinan, she is to blame. V'otnan Rabbi Yehuda omer, back to our Mishnah, gentlemen. And here, of course, by trickery, we've managed to define every sheet in our Mishnah, right? I'll leave it to Shmuel. But then doesn't it say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer be Yisrael, Yom Echad Yikayim? Now how are you going to do this? So how can Rabbi Yehuda be on the other side of the fence of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi if Rabbi Yehuda himself is agreeing to the Tanna Kamma that we're saying is Rabbi Meir? He's on the same page, at least, as far as the Ikar Halakha is concerned, that it's the husband's fault. It's just a detail. 1 month, 2 months, but basically I'm on the same page. Rabbi Yossi's on the same page. So now we have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda all saying the same thing, but the Braita is claiming that at least one of them is on the other side of the fence. Well, I guess what we're going to have to say is we got something else wrong in this Braita. It was actually 3-1, not 2-2. So we'll have to put Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yehuda on one side, and Rabbi Elazar on the other side. So Ema, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yosef, Omrim, who no thing, and Rabbi Elazar, Omer, he not not. That's the only way out of it. Look, if you're going to insist that we be normal about this, Re'im Tim Salom, if you're going to insist, but wait, I mean, you can't change a Braita that's got a zugi-zugi. It's got a 2-2 battle. And make it a 3-1. I mean, that's already unfair, right? So Re'im Tim Salom, zugi-zugi katari. If you're going to insist that the Braita was said 2-2, I'll tell you what to do. Forget about Rabbi Meir needing to be switched. You can say that Rabbi Meir holds, like Rabbi Lazar, that he not nides Bavinchi now. Rabbi Yun and Rabbi Yossi say who no tain, and the bright is not like Rabbi, and the mission is not like Rabbi Meir. So all along we were working on the wrong assumption. We got to switch around Rabbi Meir. Actually, the only one who really needs switching around is Rabbi Yossi. As far as who the author of our mission is, somebody else. But Rabbi Meir clearly was not on the same page as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe. Okay. So meanwhile, we've got now two possibilities. Either we've switched around Rabbi Meir, or the mission is not Rabbi Meir. Whatever. But according to Shmuel, the Mishnah is talking about she having made the neder, he being the kind of the neder, which completely changes the whole focus, as opposed to the first case where he made the neder, and therefore there's a whole different set of dinim. According to Rav, both cases could be talking about where he made the neder, and the difference is that in the first case it was talking about that he gave a time limit, and in the other case it was talking about he didn't give a time limit. As far as the question is, how can he make a neder to us or oranges? He doesn't literally make a neder to us or oranges, since that's not his business. But what he can do is very sneakily asser oranges by saying the following. I swear off sex if you eat oranges. So then we're going to say what? That nonetheless he owes her tashmish hamitah. I mean, it's asser for him. You can't force a guy to do something that's an isser for him. This has nothing to do with her. But it boils down to a sneaky isser on her to eat oranges. So that's how we would have to learn it. I'll leave it to Rav if you don't want to learn the case of Shihi Dira, which was the way the Gemara was saying. According to Rav, it's not a problem. This is why it would not be a problem. Now, let's go on to the next piece. Rabbi Yossi came along and said, it depends on what the norm is. I mean, you're talking about aniyot, okay, they're poor women. So over there, shalona tan kitzva. It's only if he didn't give any time limit at all. So what does that mean? That according, in other words, what you're saying is, according to Rabbi Yossi, actually, the husband could have been Mefer. That's how Shmuel is understanding the Mishnah. Since he wasn't Mefer, he's a no good dick, and therefore, whatever. His fault. Problem is, Rabbi Yossi himself does not hold that in a case of swearing off Avon, that the husband has any right to be Mefer. Because Raminu. Elu devarim shabal Mefer. The following type of the dar. Now remember, there's two things that a Baal can be made for in terms of the pasuk. One is a neder that's called inui nefesh, because over there the Torah said la'anot nefesh. So if it's something that causes pain and suffering, he can be made for. And beino lebeina, because that's the way the parsha describes all of them. Or bein ish leishto. So something that is affects the relationship between the two of them, that he can be made for. He can't be made for things just up in the air. He can't say any neder that she makes, he could be made for. It's none of his business. So now, the following... that's Hakonos HaFashis. That's not even Inu Nefesh. That's right. It's not his business. Eilut Varim Sha'abal Mef... Unless, I mean, it means she can't watch movies with him. I mean, so what are they going to do? There's nothing else left to do together. Sha'abal Mefer, Dvarim She'esh Bem Inu Nefesh. Such as, Imer Chatz, Im Loer Chatz, she makes, and it's very funny in Russia, but it turns out in the Sefzadorm, we explain this to mean, that she says, if I take a shower, then all showers will be also on me forever. Or I swear, she makes an actual shvuah instead of a neder, I will not take a shower. So there's two ways, the mission is the language, the mission is simply bringing out the fact that there's two ways of creating the situation. Either with a neder, where she asers the hanoch of showers, or with an actual shvuah. A shvuah, she can aser herself from taking a shower, but you certainly can't straight out make a neder, I will not take a shower. But in any event, that type of thing, yes, that he can be made for. He can be made for him et kashet, him lo et kashet. If I will use my Avon products. If not, says Rabbi Yossi, no, wait. Einelu nidrei inui nefesh. That's not called nidrei inui nefesh. That's not called, what's the lanos nefesh? You know what? Nidrei inui nefesh. Shelo achal basar. V'shelo eshtayayin. Or shelo et kashepi v'yidei tzivonim. I'm not allowed to wear any colored clothing. That's an actual gnai for her, and that's real pain. I mean, people look at her as some kind of almana. I mean, but so anyway, so says the Gemara, yes, and we're not talking about over here to be made for because of inui nefesh. Talking about over here to be made for we're talking about it. She can't use any Avon products. Means she cannot use depilatories. She cannot use deodorants. Now that can get pretty personal. So maybe it's a big turnoff to him. So he says, look, you know, I can't hang around some smelly, hairy ape. I mean, forget about it. So therefore, he should be able to be matter. And then not because of inui nefesh, because of beino leveina. But wait. That's only if you hold that those kind of things, the Baal can be made for. Now, Tosfos explains, there's nobody who holds that dvarim shebeino leveina, Baal cannot be made for. That's beferish or pasuk. What it means is that these are considered to be dvarim shebeino leveina. Depilatories are dvarim shebeino leveina. But if you hold that l'man yomer ein ha-baal mefer, if you hold that these things are not considered to be something that's between them, so then what are you going to say? Rabbi Yossi is saying it's not inui nefesh. According to me, it's not dvarim shebeino leveina. So then you couldn't have been made for it anyway. So how does Rabbi Yossi over here talk about to 12 months? A kitzvah, we'll see what the kitzvah is. Or no kitzvah, that's not the point. Where do we see there's such a machlok? Because the itmar, dvarim shebeino leveina, ravunom rabal mefer, ravada varavam reina bal mefer, shalom atzinu shual shemeit be'afar pirter. Tell me, did you ever see a fox go into his den and die from the stench? No, why? Because foxes go into their den. That's actually his email. Foxes den. So did you ever hear of a fox going into his den and throwing up? I mean, they get used to it. Whatever the den is like, that's what you get used to. So over here, and say, what's the problem? So he's got a wife. So she's a smelly, hairy ape. I mean, what's the problem? So when you get used to it, I mean, you married her, you know, whatever the story is, you get used to yourself, you get used to your wife, you know. You can stand your own body, you can end up standing hers. What's the problem? So that's a machlokus, whether we view things like that or not. Suppose you hold both like Rav Yossi, and you hold like Rav Ada Bar Ava that the depilatories are not considered to be dvarim shebeino leveina. So then what exactly would be the case, I'll leave it to Rav Yossi, that we could understand in the Mishnah that the Baal would have had a right to be made for anyway? I don't understand the Mishnah anymore. Ah, now there is a way. It's talking about over here that she makes a conditional netter. What she says is like this. If I use depilatories, then I assert the pleasure of sex with you on me. So once again, we cannot give a person something that's usher to them, so then even though he's meshubet to her, she is meshubet to him for those types of activities, but now she's made an isser. So ultimately, this boils down to the fact that she can't use the depilatories, because if she does, then she's going to end up with this problem. Kiri Omer of Kahana, the Omer of Kahana, if she would say, I prohibit you from deriving any benefit from my body, Hana'atash b'shi'alecha, she can't do that, because she is b'shu'beta to him, as we saw earlier. Kofa, we can force her to be over on that netter, u'mishamashto. But if she says, Hana'atash b'shi'cha alai, that I am asura to have pleasure from your sex. Over there, he can indeed be mefer. We can't force a person to eat something that's prohibited for them. Says, well, I understand. So velotit kashet, so let her not use depilatories. I don't get it. The problem over here is that she's going to be asura to sleep with him. No. But that's only, she said it tonight, if I use depilatories. So let her not use depilatories. No, that's ridiculous. Ultimately, they're going to call her a slob, karula menuvelet, and so on. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And once they're going to end up being mavaza her, the bottom line is that this netter ended up asering her. I mean, therefore, it can be made for, because now it ends up being dvarim shebeino leveina, because in the end it's going to answer tashmish, and that certainly is beino leveina. Therefore, everything makes sense. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute, there's another problem which doesn't make sense. If ultimately the issue over here is only the fact that they will not be allowed to sleep with each other, but the Mishnah gave us a time limit for that kind of thing. Let her go ahead, use depilatories, become now Asura, and what would be the problem? that she's Asur and Tashmish, okay, but we had earlier, according to Beit Shammai, we give him Shtei Shabbatot. According to Beit Hillel, we give you Shabbat Echad. And that was where he asserted sex. I don't understand. So now she asserted. So now he has to divorce her right away? Does that make sense? If he asserts her, then we give her a week or two. But if she asserts herself and he's Mekayim instead of being made for the netter, then he has to be Yotzi V'yitei Ketuvah. Why? Says the Gemara, yes, that is exactly it. And this is where the Ron gets his far from, this piece of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, that's because Hani Milihecha da Adra Il. He was the one that got mad and asserted her now by asserting himself on having sexual pleasure from her. That creates an Isser Tashmish. He can't asser directly. Because there she figures, you know what, everybody gets angry once in a while. So find the petach to the netter, you know, I mean, I can live with this. So the, over there, the sovereign mirtach ratachibuy. He's mad at me. Okay, so he's mad at me. Vahashta motiv daite. It'll take him a little while and he'll cool off and then he'll find a petach to the netter. Abalacha, the nodra e. She goes ahead and makes a netter. And this vicious guy goes ahead with shasik. All he had to do was, okay, just forget about it, all right? No netters. I don't like netters. So there she figures, he must hate me. So remember, the ishtik misna with the son, he went, that's a vicious thing. He must hate me, and if he hates me, so then Echinami, I can't live with him. And in that case, Yotzivi, thank you to, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bani Yotchelo, Natan Kitzba. Now, that means, okay, had he given a Kitzba, so then it's not a problem. But, I mean, what do you mean a Kitzba? 30 years? I mean, what's a Kitzba? Like, don't use Chanel number 5 for the next 30 years. So that's okay? Because he said 30 years? So Kama Kitzba. Omer, Rabbi Yotchelo, Mishmuel, no, 12 months is what we're talking about. Rabbi Barbachan, Amr Rabbi Yochanan says, 10 years. 10 years she can live with. Rav Chiska, Amr Rabbi Regel, she can benot Yisrael mit kashtot beregel. It means up until Yontif. That's the point. But the minig is that on Yontif you gotta look pretty and you gotta use this stuff. And that means that's the point where already she's feeling terribly deprived. But she wrote Shloshim Yom. Why? Where do we get Shloshim Yom? I mean, why should she be able, if she's an Ashiran? She's used to using these things. So why 30 days? This is because for 30 days there's still some residual benefits from whatever it is that she's used before. Remember, her big gadim have a good smell and such. There's still a little bit of that nice leftover smell in her closet, you know. But after that, she's feeling really deprived. Now, here we have the same situation, let us say, that she made the nether, according to Shmuel, we'll continue our pirush, I'll leave it to Shmuel. She made the nether, he's Mekayim, she's not going to go visit her parents. Every time I go there, they make nasty comments about you. Yeah, that's a good nether. Okay. So, he's Mekayim this nether. So, Bizman Shehu Ima Be'ir, if the father lives in the same city, so then, Chodesh Echad Yekayim Shnayim Yotzim Yitim Tekavah. A month she can go without visiting her parents. But beyond that, if he was Bekayim, the netter beyond that, then he has to be Motzi, or according to the Rambam, Kintayim Shana.
Why should bother him? She doesn't
bother
him.
Bothers her. No, it bothers him the fact that she makes the dharm. She's a nut. I think kind of one of these spiritual women.
Why did she have to switch it that way?
Yes, you should have asked this before. Why now, all of a sudden? Why not Amadir? Is it about the oranges? It didn't bother you? Okay, that's how Shmuel understands. I mean, there's no other way to do it. The Mishnah leaves open to you the pirish of what Hamadir is. Since there's no way to directly ask her something on your wife, it could only mean that she asked it. Or, very roundabout, I'll leave it a rab, it could mean that he asked the pleasure of Tashmish on himself if she goes visits her father. That's right, and the Mishnah is trying to tell you that he is to blame as if he made the net.
He confirmed it,
and since we're saying who knows, that's by mentioning that, it's as if he made the netter because he's a no good net. That's the point of the language here.
Why is that going to the father's house such a big punishment that she should hold into that netter?
It's a, well, according to the Rambam, that's not the point. Remember, the point is that he doesn't like a woman who's running around making a dorm. But, I mean, according to the portion of Pshat in the Mishnah, it's abnormal. It's something that women do. It's something that people need. People have relationships with their in-laws and with their parents. And to make a netter like that, is to prevent her from going and visiting her family, is terrible. We'll see. It depends on the situation. If he lives in the same city, so this—it's also true. So for 1 month, you kayem shnayim yotzi v'tein ktuba. If he lives in another city, bizman shu biracheret. So then the derech would be to travel to visit your parents for yontiv. So regel achad yekayem shlosha yotzi v'tein ktuba. Whoops. What happened to two? Ah, something's funny. The Gemara's going to be concerned with that. Suppose now it's b'kayim neder that she will not visit and she will not do any nichum avela, or she will not attend any more of these chasanas. It's absolutely insane. Every night I got three chasanas. I get back 2 o'clock in the morning. I can't take it anymore. I swear I'm never going to go to a chasana again. All right. So then in that case, yotzi v'yitein ktuva mipnei shenoel b'faneha, because he's locking the door to her life. We'll see in the Gemara what that means. If, however, he based it on some exterior reasonable reasoning, such as there's always guys that attempt to make out with you over there, or something like that, then it's okay. It's only where it seems to be an indication of a breakdown in the relationship, and he's spiteful. Omarla, how about if he says to her, he makes a neder, almanad, or makes his hatara dependent on, almanad yitomrid leploni masha amartli. Okay. If you go ahead and tell so-and-so what you told me, then fine. Then it should be mukavet. If not, not. Or if you tell so-and-so what I told you, the Gemara is going to say, it's talking about obviously that these are rather embarrassing things. And she doesn't want to tell it over. Or if he tells her, shetehim mimal'a umarala ashpa, I want you to fill up and pour it out, which we'll see what that means also, the Gemara. Yotzi v'yitin ktuva. Now, let me just talk about this first piece of the Mishnah. You switched from regal achad to shalosh. At last I heard there was a number between 1 and 3. And what happened to the missing number? So, Agu Vakasha. First you say regular chadikayim, which is mashma. Hashnayim yotzivi tenk tuva. So then, look at the Seifa. Shlosha yotzivi tenk tuva. What happened to 2? Hashnayim yekayim. How do you explain this? It's a contradiction. Omra baye. It's not a contradiction. It's a great way of telling us a Mishnah, Liba the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, who distinguishes between a Yisrael, an Ishis Yisrael, an Ishis Kohen. Then an Eshet Kohen we give an extra month for, because if she can't take her back, he divorces her. So therefore, the Seifa Atana Kohen is going to leave the Rebuta. Rabbi Barula says, no, why all of a sudden we should make the Mishnah Stam leave the Rebuta? I think there's another remez over here. The other remez is that it all depends on the situation. Lokasha kan b'redufa, kan b'she'ina redufa. It's talking about the difference of a woman who loves going home, and a woman who just sort of goes home for the formality, you know. So if she like feels tremendous need to get home, to visit her parents, so then it's talking about 1 month. If she doesn't have that need, so then 2 months. Or, Rabbi Nochananos, normally when a woman first gets married, she has that first time she wants to go home and show off her new status, and that is very much the mashmout of the Gemara coming up. She wants to go home and share with her parents what it's like now. She's a married woman and she's a mensch and so on. But after that, she doesn't feel the pressure to come home. And this, says the Gemara, it's actually Merum's in a Pasuk. Az hayiti be'enav kemotzei shalom. This is Klal Yisrael speaking about how I was in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you know what this is like? Kekala shenimtzei shleima bebet chamiya. This is like a caller went out, got married, and she now has set up shop, and she's comfortable with the family, the in-laws, and she feels like a mensch. So she's redufa leilech la'agit shvachah b'beit avia. She wants to show her family what she's achieved. V'hayah v'ayom ahu ne'um Hashem. Tikri'i ishi, v'lo tikri'i li od ba'ali. Will be on that day after the world reaches its shleimus and Mashiach comes, you will call me, says Hashem to Yisrael. You will call me my man. You will no longer call me my husband. Husband's a lashon of the guy in charge of me. I won't feel you're in charge of me. I'm going to feel you're my lover. Well, Rabbi Yochanan, that too is the difference between kikala bebeit chamiya velo kikala bebeit avia. There is an incredibly beautiful meishiloach on this Gemara that explains the pshat, and it's so astonishing, it's so contemporary. He says the pshat is like this: a woman who's bebeit avia, normally when you live in your parents' home, you always feel squashed by your parents. Because they're always telling you what to do. They've got their ideas about what life is like.
You're their kid.
Right? You're their kid. You leave the house, and all of a sudden you start expanding into your own life. Nobody's telling you what to do anymore. You live the way you want. So what you want to do is to go and show your parents, I don't need all of these ideas of yours. I have my own life. This is the way I manage.
I'm a big girl now.
And I'm a big girl. And this is what you want to show. Says the Meshilov. That's the trouble with Klal Yisrael. The whole time you're in the Golas, you have these chumras and that chumras. You feel like squashed by religion because nobody trusts you. You know, we'll let you go for 1 minute, and you'll do this wrong, you'll do that wrong with that. You don't know what you're doing. But after Mashiach comes, you build your own life, you feel that you're in love, you're spreading out, you're living according to the way the Torah really wants you to live. And you see, I'm not saying shalom, I don't do bad things just because we don't have all these crazy chumras and so on. It's wonderful. So you want to bring that back, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, and say, I wasn't only under control because you were controlling me. This is my life. And that's Kemotzei Shalom. Isn't that gorgeous? Mamish. Fantastic. Okay. So let's just do this as the last piece to explain what the point is of the Beit HaMishnah. Amadir Tishto. So he says to her, okay, she makes the netter, he's Bekayim, or according to Rav, he says to her, Anastashmish, you can't go to be Menachem Avil anymore. You can't go to weddings. Yeah, I understand you can't go to weddings. That's a bad thing. Bishlam Beit HaMishnah. You could say he's Noel Bifaneha. Since now she can't attend any happy occasions, she's going to become depressed and miserable. I mean, Lebeta Avel, but she tells you, you can't go to be Menachem Avil. It's so bad. Maybe she gets like overly depressed with these kind of things. She can't take it. She tells her, don't go to funerals. What's so terrible about that? What's Noel Bifaneha? What, he's locking the doors of tragedy in front of her? Why Noel Bifaneha, Ika? No, you're missing the whole point. The point over here is the social context of mutuality when it comes to Simcha and Tsar. What it means over here is, Tana, as the Braita says, she can say, look, tomorrow I'm going to die, okay? And tomorrow nobody's going to come to be Menachem Avil. Nobody's going to be saying a Hesped. Nobody's going to be burying me because I never do it for anybody else. And since all of this is a social thing, so Mamela, what you're doing is you're locking me out of normal human intercourse. That's intolerable. It's nothing to do with the etzem going to the Beit HaAvel. The same thing is true of the wedding. If I don't go to people's weddings, who's going to attend the weddings of my children? It's all mutual. So therefore, the machar, he made, I refer to herself, ain kol birya sofna, who's going to say hesped on me? Or some say, ain kol birya sofna, who's going to bury me? Nobody's going to care about me. Tanya Arya Rabbi Meir Omer, why does it say in Kohelet, tov lalechat al Beit HaAvel, milechat al Beit Mishteh, v'ashiru sof kal adam, v'achai yiten alibo? It's better to go to a Beit HaAvel than to go to a wedding. Because this way a person will think things out. What does that mean? That a person will realize that they too will have those needs. Dvarim shel mita, the sapat, somebody who says a hesped or attends a hesped, yispedune, people will come to his hesped. The kavari goes to somebody's funeral, yikfarune. Somebody was the yodel, somebody was yodeling. And he was, that's what it literally means. He was crying at the person's, oh, yeah, he's yodel. So it's the same type of, same word that we, yeah. Yeah, yudulate, yodel. So all languages have that. So yodel, yidlunune, they'll yodel for him. So the voice, somebody goes to be malava, along with the coffin on the way, yilaveno. The ton, somebody holds the mita, they'll hold the mita for them. But if you're not going to do that, then why should anybody care about you? You're breaking off relations with the human race. And that's what she's tying. She's not tying the actual experience of the Beit HaAvel, the actual experience of the Mishnah. She's tying about her connections to humanity.